help us to commence our service this morning with hymn 723. 723. Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. Hymn 723. From the first book of Kings, chapter 10. The first book of Kings, chapter 10. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel for ever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. Beside that he had of the merchantmen, and of the traffic of the spice merchants, and of all the kings of Arabia, and of the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went to one shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round behind, and there were stays on either side on the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the stays. And 12 lions stood there on the one side, and on the other upon the 6 steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold, and garments and armor and spices, horses and mules, a rate year by year. And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots, and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars made he to be as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt and linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and an horse for 150. And so for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria did they bring them out by their means. May the Lord bless his word and help David in prayer. O Lord, do help us once more to call upon thy name in prayer, who are not worthy to come into thy presence. But Lord, we sometimes see thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. So may we find thy free grace in Jesus, drawing us to the mercy seat this day, and that we may lay before thee all our petitions. Lord, thou knowest the petitions in each heart, but, O Lord, the great petition is this, life, eternal life. O eternal life, at thy request, to every saint is given. Oh, may we find eternal life in Jesus. Lord, we do beg of thee that each one that feels the burden of their souls this day may cry unto thee from the depths of their heart, that thou wilt come and save them, reveal thy great power in salvation. And Lord, reveal how thou didst send thy dear Son to die in the place of everyone that feels their need of him. O Lord, do cause us to consider the great cost, to fall before thee with mourning that our sins brought him so low to the death of the cross. Lord, we do pray that now thou art ascended on high, thou wilt plead the merits of thy life and death before the throne of God on high, and that we each may be found sheltering under the blood, that thou wilt hear and answer, because thou hast full atonement made. O Lord, do remember each one in their cases today as they bow before thee now. Grant us true worship. Thou alone canst send the answers of peace that we need so much. Oh, that thou wouldest bless us indeed, enlarge our coast, that thy hand might be with us, and that thou wilt keep us from evil, that it may not grieve us. As Jabez of old prayed, Lord, these are the great blessings we desire, that our sins might be removed, that thou wilt come and fix thy abode in our hearts, and that thou wilt reveal thyself as the one who has ordained peace for us through the blood of the cross. Lord, and to know that thou hast written our names in thy book from all eternity, chosen us, loved us, sent thy dear Son to redeem us from the curse. O Lord, give us this true worship, that it is all from thee, from first to last. O, we do mourn our poor wandering hearts, how so often they are fixed on things below and not on things above. Turn us again, O Lord of hosts, cause us to look unto thee,
and be saved. Thou hast promised that all that call upon thee in truth, thou wilt hear and answer. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Yes, Lord, all is we are unworthy of. It is all a free and sovereign grace. Oh, and we thank thee, Lord, if we can look back and see the day when thou didst so work in our hearts and raise us to a hope, that thou hast not left us to perish in our sins. Lord, we do desire to remember these things and to praise thy name. And Lord, for each one that still is seeking after thee, hast thou not bid the seekers to call upon thee? Those that seek thee early shall find thee. So we pray, Lord, remember even our young ones here, down to the little ones. Oh, put in their hearts that longing desire that they might know thee, whom to know is life eternal, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Lord, we do pray that there may be a seed here to serve thee, those whom thou hast blessed with eternal life, those whom thou wilt bring forth as thy own chosen ones when we are gone the way of all the earth. Oh, we do lovingly commend each one to thee, from the youngest to the oldest one. And especially, Lord, remember those who have not yet found thee, those who are longing after thee. Lord, do put, and those, Lord, who come up with doubt and desire in their hearts that they might know thee, Lord, do grant thy quickening grace. Oh, may not one soul here be left out of the secret, those among us as a church and people, those who may not be here this morning but are listening. Lord, quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. Lord, we have no servant of thine with us this morning to speak to us of these precious things, but we pray that that which may be read by dear Benji may be light and life in our souls, that those who feel so far off from God may feel that drawing power of the Holy Ghost and their affections fixed on things above. So come, we beseech thee, work mightily in our souls, bless the word to us. Thou hast used reading services many times. Do use this one again, we beseech of thee. We pray for thy servant we hope to hear this evening, that thou wilt come with him, that the power of the Holy Ghost may be in the midst, that the word of the Lord may be with power, and that thy name may be glorified and souls benefited. Oh, do not leave us as a church and people without the power of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Oh, Lord, take not thy candlestick from among us here. But we do pray, Lord, that there may be a continuing, a going on, a pressing toward the mark, a longing to know thee, and that thy name may be glorified in this house of prayer for the mighty works thou hast done among us here. Help us to pray for a pastor, if it be thy holy will, to send one among us to minister to us the word of life, to care for our souls and to instruct us. And Lord, we watch and wait for thy appearing. And now we pray, Lord, remember our nation. We do beg of thee that thy work may be increased in the nation, that there may be a seed in this nation still to serve thee and to call upon thee for the sake of the nation. Wilt thou hear the cries of the few that sigh and groan because of the awful things which are taking place, and beg of thee, Lord, turn back the tide of evil, if it might be thy holy sovereign will. We pray for our sovereign, the Queen, in her old age and weakness. Lord, be very gracious to her. Bless her soul, if it might please thee. And we pray for our government in disarray at the moment. Lord, that it might please thee to raise up those who will stand for what is right. So hear us in these things. Hear us for those who are thy people around the world, who are in great distress. Are we in this time of distress of nations, Lord, which is spoken of? Oh, do grant us grace then to commend each one in persecution, in famine, in war, to thy divine care. Lord, thou knowest thine own. Watch over them, do them good, and like us, prepare each one for eternity. Well, we do pray that we each may be made ready for that great day when thou wilt come and time shall be no more. Give us an earnest of the life which is beyond the grave, a hope that thou wilt save us and bring us to thy eternal kingdom to be with Christ, which is far better, without sin, without sorrow, without pain. Lord, remember each one, and may we each be made ready. Help us to pray, Lord, for those among us who walk in trouble and sorrow and sickness. Lord, we pray for the mourners. Support them, Lord, bless them, and do sanctify to each one of us the pathway we are called upon to tread. Oh, that it might be softened by the Holy Spirit taking of the things of Jesus and showing unto us how we have no sufferings like he suffered. Lord, we do pray that we may consider him, and that it may bring peace into our souls. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. Help us to thank thee for every blessing, every favour in our lives, providence and grace. And to ask now, abide with us. May thy Spirit be in the midst now. Pardon all amiss, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 957. 957. Why sinks my weak, desponding mind? Why heaves my heart the anxious sigh? Can sovereign goodness be unkind? Am I not safe, since God is nigh? Hymn 957. read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Frank Gosden. You will find the text in the chapter we read, 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 13. And King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 13. This inspired account of a part of the history of the Queen and her visit to Solomon is calculated to encourage needy sinners to come to a greater than Solomon, of whom Solomon was a type. It is also a very solemn word of warning. There are encouragements in the scriptures and there are warnings. The Lord Jesus used this narrative when here upon earth to rebuke those who were insensible, whose hearts had no response to his teaching. He said to them, "The Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment against this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and a greater than Solomon is here." That is a very solemn word. We see there encouragement for poor, empty sinners to come to a full, rich Christ. We see here also a warning to those who constantly attend the services and yet who have no response in their heart to the gospel. It appears to me that this case of the Queen of Sheba was the first answer that Solomon received to his wonderful prayer at the dedication of the temple. You will remember that one part of his prayer was this: "Moreover, concerning the stranger which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country for thy great name's sake, if they shall come and pray in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place." And this was a stranger, and that she came for this purpose, we gather from the fact that when she heard of the fame of Solomon, concerning, not in the first place maybe, his riches or his magnificence, but his fame concerning the word of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. That was the motive according to the first verse. Therefore it points exclusively to that stranger for whom Solomon prayed. "Stranger which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country." And the important thing was, "for thy name's sake." Well, it will be a mercy, and I believe it is so in many cases here, that some have come from a far country experimentally. You may have attended here all your life and been far from God in a far country. Or some are brought from a false religion far away from God. They come from a far country. All men by nature are far from God in a far country. But one of the great promises is that the Lord will gather them from all the countries where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And the cloudy and dark day was the day that man fell. Oh, there were no clouds before, no darkness, no death, no ignorance of God. But oh, what a cloudy and dark day that was when all mankind was scattered away from God. But he will gather his elect from the north, from the south, from the east and from the west, and they shall come and sit down in the kingdom of God. Oh, blessed shells and wills. Do you ever feel it take hold of your poor soul? The majesty, the glory of God in his immutability, sovereignty, lordship and dominion. She came to prove him. She says lower down, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land." Oh, how blessed it is when the Holy Spirit takes a word of God and sends to some poor sinner's heart in a far country, fulfilling that prayer of Paul, "Brethren, pray for us, that the word of God may have free course and be glorified." Be glorified in accomplishing the purposes of God in the hearts of men. It was a true report, but this is the thing, and we do well to consider it, those of us who have been sitting under the gospel for many years. She did not say, "Yes, that was a true report that I heard. Yes, I quite believe it," and sat where she was. But it had such an effect that it moved her. She went to prove it. Now let us look at points. With all our religion, all the sermons we have heard, has the word of God ever had that effect upon us, that we not only believe it, but that it has moved our hearts to prove the Lord? Oh, he condescends to allow sinners to prove him. As we read in the Proverbs, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing." It honours him to prove him. It does indeed. Do you ever come to him and quote his word to him? Plead his word? It is said, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Do you ever come to him and prove him, saying, "Lord, here comes a sinner, the chief of sinners, come to prove thee"? Oh, let us look into our hearts, I say ours, not yours, to see if we have this evidence of possessing a living faith which is affected by the gospel and moves us toward the Lord Jesus. You must not look for types to be perfect. They often break down somewhere. It is a good thing they do. I remember some years ago being very troubled because I found that some types did not hold out to perfection, but I saw the blessedness of it afterwards. Even the law is the shadow of good things to come, not the very image of those things. Shadows, figures, and types cannot come up to the perfection of the glorious antitype, the substance. But it is sweet when faith sees through the type, the glorious antitype. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not until I came." Oh, this is a good hearing, to hear the report. "I believed not until I came, and mine eyes had seen it." What hearers there would be, and fruit in this good ground. It reminds me of the woman of Samaria, when the Lord unfolded the truth and revealed to her who he was. She left her water pot and found better water too. This was the point. She went and told the men, and some of them were led to come and see him. And they said, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves." You take these points, my friends, and see if they fit into your experience anywhere. "Howbeit, I believed not until I came and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me." Usually with things natural, everything is exaggerated, especially in this artificial, miserable age when there is no dependence in anything. The more you investigate, the less value there is. But oh, in the things of God, greater glory appears. Have you ever known that? "And behold, the half was not told me." I believe some of you can say it, not the half. You are lost in wonder, sometimes in humble praise. half was not told me. You will find rising up in your heart such humble sacred worship. Great God, how infinite art thou, what worthless worms are we. She communed with Solomon of all that was in her heart. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Oh, it is a sacred relief. Not easy. One cannot do it at will. Some of you know what it is to be bound up, to feel unable to pour out your heart before the Lord. But oh, what a relief when you are enabled to make your worst condition known, and also to express your highest desires, for the two things will be together. I am sure they cannot be independent. If ever you are able to pour out your heart before the Lord under a sense of your universal ruin, depravity and death, it will not be alone. Your eyes will be up unto the Lord, his eternal life, his heavenly light, his infinite wisdom, his sovereign grace, his divine mercy. Well, this is how the Queen of Sheba was affected by the report. And I thought, as you were singing the first hymn, if there are such here, and I believe there are, and the Lord should favour and honour such with the sacred audience of the King of Kings in the banqueting house, you would then at the end of the day say, we have not been sent empty away. Of course, some might say that this queen came with a very great train. Top lady says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Well, I would not attempt to force anything in the word of God, but just let me refer upon this point to Mary the sinner. She came with a very expensive box of ointment. She broke it and anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus, and the savour, the fragrance of that ointment, filled the house. Does the sinner bring anything to the Lord? He does. Are they real things? They are. What does he bring? He brings a broken and a contrite heart, in which heart is a God-given faith. He brings these things. God has given him faith, which is far more precious than gold, even the gold of Ophir. Yes, the poor, feelingly destitute sinner, led by the Holy Ghost to bow before the throne of grace, has these things in his heart, which are of more value than this world. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. But to come to the text, and King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, we have somewhat of a parallel case in that of Queen Esther, only in different circumstances. Here the Queen was moved, attracted by the report of the riches of Solomon. The Queen Esther was driven to go in unto the King, but King Ahasuerus promised to give her desire to the half of his kingdom. The Lord Jesus has promised to give the whole of the kingdom to those who seek it. And you will find in your experience that there will be, in the main, these two things that will bring you to the Lord Jesus, and that constantly, as circumstances bring it out. There will be times when you are driven by a sense of need, a fresh sense of danger, pursued by enemies. You will be drawn from time to time by the sacred, irresistible attractions of the Lord Jesus, as he has set before you in the gospel. And that will make up an experience which will keep alive in your soul the spirit of prayer. King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire. Let us try and apply this to the Lord's people, for it is true, in coming to the throne of grace, upon which a greater than Solomon sits, and in him all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells. Oh, what a person! What a glorious person! He is united to human nature so as to be able to bring immortal blessings down. And what is more, that poor sinners might be united unto Christ in an indissoluble union by which they receive from him all that he is and all that he has in his fullness. Desires. You will see these desires expressed copiously in the book of Psalms. Is it not a wonderful thing you can feel that the psalmist expresses your desires as well as your confessions and your humble praises? You consider it. David said this among many things. Lord, all my desire is before thee. And also declared that the Lord will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. And so Christ himself exhorts the people. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. How are we hearing these things? Do they move us at all? Let us examine ourselves whether we be inside the faith. If it is true that they that ask receive, how is it that we receive so little? If to those that knock it shall be opened, how is it that there is so little opened to us? The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Oh, that we might have revived in our spirit that spirit of the Queen of Sheba spiritually. Lord, all my desire is before thee. Take the contrast, the world. Look at it today. It is a tremendous provision that the devil has made. As the Lord has promised to bless the provision of his house, so the provision of this world is under his curse. Yet the great provision is made. You see it down every street in all its terrible colours. The worldly man looks at it all and says, world, all my desire is before thee. Have we been made to differ? Look at it, and as you come to the house of God, or to the word of God, or to the throne of grace, can you in all honesty say to the Lord, Lord, all my desire is revealed in that blessed word. All I desire is there. All that can make me truly blessed, all that I need is in thee. Can we say it? There have been moments when I could say it unreservedly. And King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desires. Now your desires may contain all things spiritually with respect to your soul, and you may have some desires and needs with respect to your circumstances and providence. But the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Now if the Lord were to ask you what you desire, as he did the blind man, what would be your reply? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee, that I might receive my sight? Why did he say that? Because that was his trouble, his infirmity. Have you in your souls needs and desires that go together? I think perhaps some of you would ask of the Lord as your first desire, that all your sins might be forgiven. Thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven. Forgiveness, 'tis a joyful sound. And I believe this, that in that real desire, under a sense of sinnership, in conviction of sin, if the Lord should fulfill that desire in the forgiveness of sins, he would give you, in forgiveness, every other new covenant blessing. I do not know of a blessing that would be absent in the blessing of forgiveness. There will be justification, redemption, sanctification. There will be the love of God in Christ in it. There would be the infinite merit of Christ, mercy, sweet mercy. King Solomon gave her all her desire. Some of you may desire larger communion. Larger communion let me prove with thee, blessed object of my love. A closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame. 'Tis a blessed desire. And some of you may desire the Lord that you might honour him. Honour him before men. Desire that the fear of God might regulate all your powers and faculties. That fear might be in your conscience as a spiritual, heavenly light to shine upon the road that leads to the Lamb. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and he that hath it shall he satisfy. Oh, to possess the fear of God. Some of you may desire to be revived in your soul. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. It is restoration that you need and desire. A great word to me lately has been deliverance. Oh, what I've seen in a sense of need of deliverance. A deliverance out from the terrible influences of indwelling sin, from doubts and fears, darkness and bondage, to bring your soul out of prison. Oh, the desires, the needs of the soul. You may have desires too with respect to your family. Your children lay upon your heart as to their immortal souls, and you bring them before the Lord. Seek for them what you seek for yourselves. First, the kingdom of heaven. And you desire too submission to the will of God, that his chastenings might be teachings. Whate'er thy providence denies, I calmly would resign. Oh, the desires that arise from a tried sinner's heart as he comes before the Lord. King Solomon gave her all her desire, whatever she asked. Well, the Lord has promised to do it. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will do it. Prove him, my friends. That was what the Queen did. I like to emphasize the main point in this narrative. The thing was, she heard and believed the report, and she came to prove Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Oh, may we take this to heart and examine ourselves by it. See how much you have taken home from time to time. See if you have proved the Lord. He will prove you. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The Lord does lead his people about to prove them, to know what is in their heart, and he does permit his people to prove him. He declares, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Royal bounty. The fullness of Christ is greater than royal bounty, and this royal bounty, divine bounty of Christ, consists of all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. This is the royal bounty of the King of Kings, sovereign, electing love. That is theirs. Oh, what a mercy! Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. And in this divine bounty too, there is all the fullness of the covenant of grace and the sure mercies of David, and all the blessings of God in Christ Jesus. Indeed, the unspeakable gift of his dear Son. This royal bounty is described by Paul. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And therefore in this royal bounty there is justification, righteousness, redemption. Why, this royal bounty of the Lord Jesus consists of unsearchable riches, so that all these blessings of the covenant of grace belong to his dear people. Gave to the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she desired of his royal bounty. You take these two things together. What an inheritance. You take first the divine bounty of those covenant blessings that are stored up in the Lord Jesus for his people, which include, and they will ultimately receive, the boundless inheritance of the saints. I believe that Abraham had that revealed to him after he was separated from Lot. God said to him, "Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." I believe his faith was strengthened to see the inheritance of the saints, for there is stored up for them whatever they ask for. These desires differ under different circumstances according to the different exercises of soul and the pathway through which they walk. But the king's bounty, his royal bounty, is from everlasting. Oh, it takes in the whole gospel. The Lord Jesus is said to be of God, made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Oh, the devout divine bounty that is provided for his dear people, and his bounty is also seen in the provision of his house. It is the Lord's bounty. Yes, the church is a divine institution, as we were trying to speak last Lord's Day. What a provision it is, what a bounty, spiritually made living. Oh, how I need it. I need it as life coming to death, as righteousness coming to rags, as unsearchable riches to a bankrupt, as power to weakness, as heaven to hell. Royal bounty, divine sufficiency, together with your desires and needs. So she returned and went to her country. Yes, you will return. You may come to the sanctuary, and if you get a blessing from his royal bounty and the fullness of Christ and take it away in your heart, you will go back to your various avocations, duties, responsibilities, business trials, go back to your own country, but you will take something with you and live by faith upon this blessed Son of God. Oh, may the Lord give us to consider as to whether in all our hearings we have any evidence of the response of living faith. Oh, that's amen. May the Lord bless his word.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Barker will preach this evening. Mr. Robert Field will preach on Tuesday evening, if he is able. And Mr. Graham Cottingham is expected next Lord's Day. Our closing hymn is 267. Children of the Heavenly King, as ye journey, sweetly sing. Sing your Saviour's worthy praise, glorious in his works and ways. Hymn 267. Thank you.
verses. Oh, do bless that which has been read to me. Lord, oh, do pray the word may help me. Lord, there are those encouragements, but also those words. Lord, we do pray that we have need to. Lord, do follow likeness. In fact, we, Lord, these services have been recorded in those words. And Lord, one who was taken many years ago, still, Lord, these sermons are you. Lord, we pray like this. Do we with us now as we pray? Oh, do we come up with us again to see? Come up with our dear servant we have to. Lord, give him that word to him. Help him through the day. Lord, may it prove to be one of our things that he should come amongst us to see. Lord, may the word have in it. Oh, do grant my blessings. Do be with us. Oh, be with each one gathered. Those, Lord, who are away today, any who are unwell, Lord, be with them. Lord, we thank thee for bringing back those who have been. Lord, be with each one. Forgive our every sin. Make our living so. We ask it for Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God.